Welcome, Dumbheads, to MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. In this season, we are examining every single goddamn page of Palladium's Heroes Unlimited to determine what is the dumbest thing on that page. Every episode is one page, every episode is short. If you'd like to play along at home, this is Heroes Unlimited Revised 2nd Edition, the second printing from December 1998. Today we're discussing page 337 of Heroes Unlimited. We are still in the magic section. We're discussing the spell list, a list of spells which are increasing in level every day, getting more and more outrageously powerful and out of reach of the typical player character. Today we're on to 13th level spells. At this point, we are officially out of the realm of spells that you can just pick up through random rolls or picking them at character creation. Anything from this point forward, either you gotta go on a protracted philosophical quest for, you gotta go fucking give a genie a blowjob or whatever you gotta do to get a boon from a supernatural being, or you've gotta research it yourself once your character level matches the spell level. So 13th level spells, you can't learn them yourself until you are 13th level. I remind you that after an average of 2.5 years of play, your character should be about 9th level, so we're talking about years from now. If you're hoping to learn a 13th level spell with your own personal arcane research, you need to turn off this podcast and go start playing Heroes Unlimited right now. If you start now, like as this podcast drops, then maybe by 2024, you'll be able to learn one of these spells. So that's a huge investment. These are big, big prizes that you get as compensation for the admittedly onerous task of playing this ridiculous fucking game for years on end. Now, there are only 3 13th level spells, and they really suffer from something that was a problem that I had all the way back with the White Wolf edition of Ars Magica, where some kinds of powerful magic are quite meta, and they... Well, hold on. This is the wrong podcast for this. Wait just a second.
Well met, traveler, and welcome to Ars Backwards, an Ars Magica podcast. Forsooth, in this podcast, we meditate upon every damnable page of Ars Magica, the role-playing game of medieval magic, working through the dense tome backwards, or retrograde, as the geocentric model would have it, from rear cover to fore, voluminously glossing and interpreting each page in the authentic style of the medieval commentaries upon Aristotle. For those attempting to follow along at home, I feel sorry for thee, for this is medieval Europe, and bibliographic records are extremely lax.
Okay, now we can talk about Ars Magica. In Ars Magica, you do different spell effects by combining a verb and a noun. So like Creo Ignem is create fire, and that category contains all of the spells that are about creating fire. There's a whole category of spells, the Veem spells, which is for magic itself, where all the different spells in that category affect magic. So like Rego Veem controls magic. So you just use it to like shuffle points of magic from person to person. Maybe do like meta magic stuff or you affect other spells. This is similar to the way that the Prime Sphere works in Mage the Ascension, where they're all the fun spheres about, matter and forces, which is like all kinds of energy, and life, which affects living things. And then there's Prime, which is just like magic that affects magic. Opinions may vary, but in my mind, it's a bit of a speed bump sphere because you need to have two dots of it in order to power any spell that creates something from nothing, because you need to be able to channel quintessence to like support the pattern of the new creation. So you can move fire around with just forces, but if you want to make fire, you need prime and forces, and it's just kind of a headache. And there's nothing exciting about it, really. It's too abstract. It's too game rules wonky. Whatever your concept for your character is or the story you're telling, it's unlikely to have a lot to do with abstract manipulation of magical energy, absent some concrete expression, absent some dramatic or at least readily articulable thing that you're doing. Wizards who spend their time doing arcane, impossible to explain magical experiments for their own sake, maybe that's fun to watch in like a movie or read about in a novel, but it's not really fun to play. It's fun to play a wizard who shoots fireballs, or gives people plague, or does time dilation, etc., etc. There's a real problem in Heroes Unlimited with too much meta at the high spell levels, which is really where you want wizards to get super impressive. But instead, because most of the section seems to be taken up with wizards doing anti-wizard shit, the high-level spells are just loaded with powerful effects, the gist of which is they either make magic not work or work in an abstractly different way. I mean, we could run down the list starting at like 11th level. Anti-magic cloud, remove curse, calm storm, of course. Sanctum, which we're about to talk about, mainly cancels the effects of other spells. Talisman allows you to put spells into objects. That doesn't sound like that many spells, but taken together, they represent like a third to a quarter of the total spells available on each of those respective levels. So that's complaint number one. The other level 13 spells should be pulling their weight here, and they're really not. I mentioned Sanctum. Here's how Sanctum works. And I admit this is a classic wizard type spell, should definitely be in the game. Quote, The mage can protect a room of up to 30 by 30 feet from mystic influence by using a sanctum invocation. The room is instantly turned into a safe haven or sanctum free of magic disturbance. While inside the room, the mage cannot be found by the locate spell or magical tracking, cannot be seen by second sight or crystal ball, and cannot be affected by bonding magic, but only while in the room. Even more impressive is that animated dead, entities, fairy folk, and undead can't enter the sanctum. Lesser demons, devils, elementals, and similar supernatural beings cannot enter unless they save versus magic, 16 or higher. So the name of this spell should be Protection from Other Game Lines, because most of what I just described is not in Heroes Unlimited. The spell does not offer any sort of blanket protection. It only protects your little sanctum, your cozy little magic den, against the things that are listed here. And those things aren't in the game. So if you play just using the material in Heroes Unlimited, you're going to find that Sanctum is almost useless, because not only is this yet another spell for canceling other wizard shit, but it cancels wizard shit that other wizards don't even have in Heroes Unlimited. Second Sight, not in this game. Crystal Balls, not in this game. Bonding Magic, not in this game. Entities, Fairy Folk, Lesser Demons, Devils, Elementals, not in this game. The only things that are actually in this book that Sanctum will protect you against are undead mega heroes, who I guess would need to roll a 16 to save versus magic to get into your little magic HQ. Those animated skeletons and corpse puppets made by those shitty necromancers with the animate and control dead spell. Once again, only really useful against other wizards. And there's only one spell named here that this would actually protect you against. The locate spell, which is like the single most useless spell for Sanctum to protect you from. Because if you're in some kind of, you know, wizard fight, you got wizard beef with another wizard, and then you go to ground, you know, you decide to go hide from him, where the fuck is he going to think that you're at? If he can't detect you with detection magic, if he can't find you with the spell locate after repeated attempts, I wonder where he could be. I wonder where Doctor Strange went. Could it be his notorious brownstone with the big fucking arcane symbol in the window? That one brownstone that the bus goes by every day with people who are on like wizard tours to like see all the famous wizards' houses. You know that brownstone where if you Google wizards in my area in New York, it's the first thing that comes up? I wonder if he could be hiding there. If you've got a permanent sanctum, which is something this spell does offer, anybody who can't find you with locate is going to know that you're in the fucking sanctum. Or, you know, worst case scenario, you go to hide in another dimension or something, somewhere beyond the reach of the locate spell, and it tricks people into thinking that you're in your sanctum. So they go break into your fucking house while you're on a trip, while you're on vacation or on a, you know, a planar adventure. This is really more trouble than it's worth. I mean, I'll admit there's a little utility here if you have a very secret sanctum. Then in the narrow situations where you are on the run from an undead mega hero, a necromancer, or a wizard trying to track you down and you're hiding, then this is handy. But it's a very narrow spell, and it's a purely reactive spell. There's nothing cool you can do in your sanctum, which is a major oversight. There are only three 13-level spells. If you're only going to put three on the list, I should be able to do something cool proactively with all of them. These are major, major rewards for reaching this level. I mean, if I hit 13th level, who knows when I'll hit 14th level? I mean, I don't exaggerate when I say that characters level so slowly in this game, at the high levels especially, everybody's lives are going to change before we hit 14th level. Like, people are going to get new jobs, people are going to have kids, relationships are going to end, and new relationships are going to begin. Who knows if this campaign will ever get to 14th level? So if I get a 13th level spell, because that's like my new cap, I really gotta be able to use it. I don't want to have to wait for a situation where the GM throws an evil wizard at me who happens to have the spell that I'm now immune to or can cancel or negate or whatever. And I get to say, haha, good thing I picked up that spell 6 months ago. It was a long wait, but finally, I made it so that nothing happens. The other 13th level spell is Talisman, which is a spell, as I mentioned, it allows you to imbue your other spells into an object so that other people can use the object, or I guess so that you can charge up an object ahead of time. Just meta magic, just a way to affect how spells are cast. I mean, it has its uses, but you know, it's boring and it's not on this page, so fuck it. The other spell, the least boring of the 13th level spells in its own defense, is Summon and Control Storm. This is the ability to summon not just like one little cloud that shoots people with lightning or whatever, but a full-on humongous torrential storm over a wide area. How wide an area? I have no idea. This spell lists a range, which is up to 10 miles away, but it gives no sense of how much area the storm covers. All it says is immediate area around the mage, which sounds like it would be a city block or something, but as we're going to see, the rules depend on the area of the storm encompassing enough space that people might be driving multiple miles within the area of the storm. So it's got to be at least say, a 4-mile radius around you. And certainly the implication is that it's much larger than that. So what does summon and control storm do? Putting aside the nebulous issue of like how big a storm we're talking about exactly. Quote, the spellcaster can create a destructive storm out of thin air. A rainstorm will create a torrential downpour of 4 inches of rain per hour, causing flooding even in cities. Flooded roads will immobilize all vehicles. Water is 3 to 5 feet high. Poor visibility will slow travel by half. Traveling fast is likely to cause an accident. Roll on the following table for every 2 miles traveled. And then there's a table, which takes up most of the text of this spell, of random shit that can go wrong when you attempt to travel at over half your normal speed over a 2 mile or greater distance within the area of the storm. 30% of the time, nothing happens. You're fine, it's just rainy. 10% of the time, you get stuck in the mud. 15% of the time, you get a mud or rock slide. And then there's a bunch of others. Uprooted trees block you. Maybe a falling tree hits you. There's a road that's washed out, so you got to go around. There's a flash flood. There's a lightning strike. An out-of-control vehicle collides with you. So just like mishaps that can happen to you on a rainy stretch of road. And then in a tiny note at the end, there's the option of creating a windstorm, which has gusts up to 70 to 90 miles an hour, and it's wind. It knocks shit over. That's the whole spell. It costs 260 PPE. It lasts 1 hour per level of your experience. And you may notice that despite being a 13th level spell, a hugely powerful spell that is difficult to get and very expensive to cast, based on this text, it is useful only for waging a slow war of attrition on reckless drivers who refuse to stick to a safe speed over multiple miles of travel on rainy roads. So if you're looking to kill orcs with this spell, you better hope that they've got some wheels and they got places to be, because this is like as indirect as it gets. There's nothing you can proactively do to anyone with this spell. And once again, as with Sanctum, this is a major oversight. It's a no-brainer. Like, there is a Call Lightning spell in this game. There is a Wind Gust spell in this game. And the amount of PPE that they cost is very small relative to the cost of this giant 13th level spell. Surely, there should be a provision for hitting people with lightning or at least buffeting them with wind on command during the storm. There should be something you can do proactively. But no, all we get is this table. The only concrete thing you can do to your enemies is make the roads unsafe to travel at high speeds, which doesn't sound like a way to take out antagonists to me. I'll tell you what it sounds like. It sounds like a way to set up a set-piece action scene when you've got an evil NPC wizard up to some magical shenanigans somewhere, and the PCs have to go stop them before the eclipse or whatever, and they've got to race through the city streets, and the GM gets to pull out this table and fucking smile with glee and roll for, you know, mudslides and flying trees and wreck your supercar. That's what this spell is for. As a player character, you would rarely ever want to use this spell. I mean, departing from the table a little bit, you could say, you know, disrupt an evil gathering. You know, you could slow an alien invasion by flooding out the streets to buy you time, but that's a huge amount of PPE to spend for a minor effect that is really almost completely reactive. I'm not going to give you a replacement for this from Heroes Unlimited Revised, because there's no need. The dumbest thing on this page is not that this spell is here, really. The dumbest thing on this page is that this spell gives you the ability to summon a storm at vast magical cost, and it contains a list of storm-related bad things that can happen to your foes. But you can't do those things to them. All the material is right here. From mudslides to wind blowing trees into people to lightning strikes, every cool thing you should be able to do with this spell is in the spell in the form of a random table that only works when somebody tries to drive their car too fast for 2 miles, making it impossible to use proactively and useless in most of the action set pieces where you want your high-level spells to shine. If this table were just, you can do one of the following to any group of people you can see during the effects of this spell, it would be badass. But as it is, this is the best of the 13th level spells, and like the other two, after the years of real lifetime it takes you to get it, you're probably going to find that you're sitting on it for a long time with no way to use it. So these three spells are not a great use of like a full page of this overstuffed section. Random bit of trivia, this spell is dumb but conceptually is fine. I did some research on the amount of rainfall described by this spell, 4 inches per hour over a number of hours equal to your level, and I can confirm that is a shitload of rain. If you were 13th level and you learned this spell yourself and you cast it, the area where you cast it, if you were in the United States, would break the rainfall record for that area, I do believe, based on the information I was able to quickly Google. And most importantly, I wouldn't have brought up this whole thing except for this. A rainstorm this severe that causes this much flooding is sometimes known as a toad strangler, which I submit to you would be a great name for any of the following. A monster who can cast this spell at will. Maybe like in D&D, this monster just jumps out of the bushes once in a while, causes a torrential rain, strangles a bunch of toads with it, and this upsets the bullywug toad farmers, and so they hire your adventurers to go find and slay the toad strangler. Just a thought. You can add the delightful Monster Man podcast along with Ours Backwards to the list of podcasts this isn't, so I'll move on, but I'm very proud of this plot hook. Toad Strangler also would be a great name for this spell, or a spell like it. The name of a demon lord that you invoke who grants you this rain. Like, it would be great to have an orcish rain shaman who worships a demon called Toad Strangler, and that's where he gets his power to cast this spell. Toad Strangler could also be the name of a supervillain who has this spell, like an evil wizard, or could be the name of a magical weapon that grants this spell. It'd be a cool misdirect, because Toad Strangler doesn't sound so impressive. One imagines a tiny lasso. But then when you go up against this person, oh, a Toad Strangler, a huge fucking torrent of rain that lasts for hours and washes out the whole city. This is much worse than we expected. As our car is floating down the road in blinding sheets of rain, we'll be like, oh, fuck, we should have Googled Toad Strangler. If only we had known this obscure term, everything could have been different. We would have worn our super ponchos. Join me next time as we reach the final spell level, level 15, and discuss another spell that maybe could have used a different name on MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. This has been Mega Dumbcast. New episodes drop every day except for Sundays, when all the previous week's episodes drop in one big chunk for your binging convenience. Contact or check out the show wherever you want. It is Mega Dumbcast on Twitter, Instagram, Podbean, your favorite podcatcher, etc., etc. And if you like my tiny little podcast, consider giving me a tiny bit of money at ko-fi.com/megadumb. That is ko-fi.com/megadumb. MDC, Palladium Books, Heroes Unlimited, and all associated trademarks are property of Kevin Sambita. This episode's music includes To the Top and Remember the Way by Midair Machine, whose work you can find at freemusicarchive.org/music/askagain. That's ask again, two words with a space in between. Dumbheads, I will catch you next time.